The words of God given to us today are Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. It is on page 402 in the New Testament. Allow me to read. To the angels of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sit down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. When Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he passed through Jericho. Because a lot of palm trees grew in Jericho, it was called a city of palms. Also, it had many cedars and rose trees and had rich soils, so it was called a divine region. Jericho was one of the regions with the largest tax revenues. Jesus met a person in that place. He is introduced as follows, Luke chapter 19, verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Zacchaeus was remembered by people by his profession and wealth. At that time, a tax collector was appointed by the Roman government through the way of bidding. For instance, in order to select a tax collector of Jericho region, government received applications. A person who wanted to be a tax collector had to submit in writing the amount that he will provide to the government when he is appointed as a tax collector. If a person wrote 10 talents, another 20 talents, and the other 30 talents, the person who submitted the highest amount became the tax collector of Jericho. And the remaining, after deducting the amount submitted to the government, became the salary of a tax collector. So tax collectors collected taxes brutally and mercilessly in order to accumulate their wealth. People call tax collectors a licensed robber. As such, tax collectors worked for Rome, not for Israel, although they were Jews. They were treated as traitors and were prohibited from entering into a synagogue or become a witness at a trial. Zacchaeus was not a mere tax collector, but a chief tax collector. In any field, not everyone can make it to the top. Not all students who enter into a military academy and become soldiers can be a general. Not all people who passed a national exam and became public servants can make it to a minister or vice minister. For Zacchaeus to make it to the chief tax collector, he must have worked hard. so he became a wealthy man. He accumulated his wealth at the price of despair and tears of people of Israel. To Zacchaeus, the position of a tax collector was like a cash cow which brought him wealth. Such Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus who was passing through Jericho because he was short. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. But Jesus, who was passing the tree, said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." When people saw Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house, they began to murmur, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus, who was overwhelmed that Jesus came to his house, didn't even sit down, but stood up and said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." If he had to give half of his possessions to the poor and pay back four times the amount that he accumulated by cheating, he would lose all his wealth. But through such way, Zacchaeus repented by all his life and lived a new life. Just as Jesus searched for Zacchaeus and knocked on the door of his life, in today's text, Jesus knocks on the door of the church in Laodicea. Verse 20 of today's text testifies as follows. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." This is a very familiar verse to Christians, but there is a misunderstanding about this verse. It is often used in evangelical works when convincing people to accept Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior. In particular, people are asked to make a determination that Jesus is knocking on the door of one's mind and life, but cannot enter unless one opens because the doorknob is inside. It is explained as if becoming a Christian is one's own choice rather than work of God and God being a sovereign God. The painting titled The Light of the World by William Holman Hunt would have played a significant role in offering such explanation. It is a painting of Jesus knocking on a door, holding a lantern in a dark down with dimming moonlight. Moved by the verse in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Hunt left three more paintings of light of the world. The first painting is in Keble College of Oxford University. And another one we are familiar with is kept in St. Paul Cathedral. It appears that the door that Jesus is knocking has never been opened. Thick weeds, which symbolize sins, cover the entire door. Jesus put on the crown of thorns, but wore the attire of the chief priest. It is apparent that Jesus waited and knocked on the door for a long time, but there is no sign of frustration, and his eyes are filled with love. And in the hand of Jesus, he is holding a lantern related to the title of the painting. A verse is written in the bottom of the painting. It's today's text, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It is a painting visualizing that Jesus is knocking on the doors of people's mind who came to this earth as a light of the world filled with darkness and eternal death. In this painting, Jesus is knocking on the doors of people's minds to enter, but there is no doorknob. So it is said that one should open the door from inside. Therefore, many Christians use verse 20 to convince non-believers to turn to Jesus and explain that such determination is left at the hand of a man. However, verse 20 was not given to us in order to convince non-believers to accept Jesus Christ as one Savior. It is a word given to the church in Laodicea, to the people who already became Christians but are mistaken by believing that success is to fulfill desires in Laodicean way, that one can be honorable if one is dressed in Laodicean values, and one becomes wise if one learns the Laodicean way of living. So it is a word to rebuke and discipline, like those to children given to those who are neither cold nor hot, but in a lukewarm state, so that they can conclude or put an end to such life and become Christians who become wealthy by the Lord, clothed by the Lord, and open their eyes to the Lord. Therefore, the next verse is, so be earnest and repent. In addition, thinking that it is completely up to a man to accept or not accept Jesus knocking on the door by this verse is a very arrogant thought. No man of faith in the Bible decided to accept or not accept Jesus by oneself. The gist of this word is not that a man decides to open one's mind or not, but Jesus comes to us worthless beings without giving up, and we open the door moved by such grace. I will read the first half of verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If the Lord does not knock on the door of our life and mind, it is useless for me to open the door hundreds and thousands of times or even leaving the door open. In Greek Bible, stand, the word stand is written in present perfect tense. In other words, for a long time, the Lord came to the church in Laodicea and waited at the door for a long time. In the third verse of a gospel titled, God Who is Helping Me Behind My Back, there's a line which goes, when I sometimes turn back, the Lord who stands still is looking at me with a gentle smile and urges me to move. The Lord who stands still is the Lord who is standing in front of the people of the church in Laodicea, who are absorbed in Laodicean values without realizing their true selves are in lukewarm state, neither cold nor hot. And the word knock is written in a present tense in the Greek Bible. It means that the Lord is repeatedly knocking on the door of the church in Laodicea. But the Greek verb kruo, meaning knocking, is not a gentle knock to check whether somebody is in a toilet or in one's office or laboratory. Acts chapter 12 verses 13 to 16 testifies as follows. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You are out of your mind," David told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Disciple James had been martyred, and disciple Peter was imprisoned, sentenced to death. But before the day of Peter's execution, an angel of the Lord appeared and woke up Peter, asking him to follow. In a moment, chains locking his body were unlocked, and he followed the messengers of the Lord, half awakened. After passing the first gate and the second gate, he realized that a messenger of the Lord saved him. And he headed to the house of Maria, mother of Mark John, where Christians gathered to pray. As he knocked on the door with such overjoy, how loud it would have been. Rhoda, who heard Peter's voice, recognizing him, went straight to people without opening the door. Also, Luke chapter 13, verses 24 to 25 testifies as follows. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Let us think that you were anxiously waiting for a worldly renowned musician's performance, but you arrived at the concert hall after the door is locked due to the traffic. Because the recital already started, the staff told you that you cannot go in. Then how eagerly will you explain? Wouldn't you ask, "I have been waiting for this for months and years. I saved little by little to buy the ticket. I won't interfere with the performance, and I will go in quietly. Can you please open the door?" Also, let us think that we are living as a refugee who left our families in the north, but are given an opportunity to meet our families that we can go to north through Panmunjom. But on that day you were late, that you arrived at the Panmunjom gate after it has been closed. If the gate is open, you can follow the crowd, but the door is not open. Then you will knock on the door vigorously. You will knock on the door desperately, asking that this is my last chance. If I lose it, I will never see my parents or siblings again. Then I will not be able to close my eyes when I die. So please open the door. Same can happen in the last day. You thought that going into a wide door is a comfortable life, living well. But when you are rejected from entering into the kingdom of God, how miserable you would feel if the door is not open, no matter how hard you knock on the door, and only get an answer that I do not know you or where you came from. With such mind, Jesus is standing at the door of the church in Laodicea, knocking on the door. The knock is a great love of the Lord towards the church in Laodicea. Jesus Christ is the origin of creation. Therefore, without knocking on the door of people's mind, he can enter into one's mind and life. However, he doesn't do so. Rome, the greatest empire at that time, tried to conquer the world with force. The most important weapon of Rome was a trolley led by horses. Paved road was required for Roman trolleys to march. Wherever Roman trolleys marched through the paved road, it all became territories of the Roman Empire. One of the greatest heritage that Roman Empire left to humanity is a road paving skill. So the proverb that all roads go to Rome was created. One can go to Rome if one only follows paved road. When construction battalion paved roads, they did not ask people or the government of the conquered whether they can pave roads. They completely suppressed them by force. Laodicea was not an exception. Laodicea was conquered by Roman Empire 230 years before and became its colony. However, God, the origin of creation, Jesus Christ cannot be compared to the Roman Empire, yet the Lord does not open our minds by force, but came down to us and waited until we opened the door. The most authoritative award in journalism, literature, and music is Pulitzer Prize. These days, in the Seoul Art Center, Pulitzer Prize-winning photo exhibit is being held. I have not been able to go to this year's exhibit, but I went there 4 years ago. Most of Pulitzer Prize-winning photo contains the image of a war, famine, and natural disaster. However, 1958 photo that won Pulitzer Prize has nothing to do with such subjects. In September 1957, a parade was held at Washington, D.C., hosted by Chinese Merchants Association. People were lined in a sidewalk, and Chinese dancers and people wearing a big dragon mask were performing. Police was guarding that people do not step down to the street road. 1958 Pulitzer Award winning, Pulitzer Prize winning photo contains an image of a tall young police officer talking to a 3 or 4 year old child with a friendly face, and the child looking at the police officer in a happy face, holding his hands together. The title is Faith and Confidence. It is a photo that makes viewers smile. We don't know what the police officer said to the child. The police officer could have had a threatening face and scolded that it is dangerous. Why did you step down to the street road? Or he could have been angry to his parents, asking, what were you doing when the child stepped down to the street road? Do you want him to get hurt? Or with a numb or dull face, he could have put the child back to the sidewalk and think that he has done his duty. But a small kindness, a small smile to a small child moved people greatly. A small kindness from one person to another leaves a great impression. The Lord's kindness to people, the Lord's knocking on the door, gives us eternal impression, joy, and salvation. It is because He is an eternal being. The people of faith who are mentioned in the Bible all receive the grace of the Lord knocking on their hearts. Adam and Eve ate the fruit of good and evil that God forbid them to eat. They made a skirt out of fig leaves and hid among the trees in the garden. At that time, God came to them and knocked on the door that they had closed. And He made clothing out of leather to cover them. They were able to recover through that knocking. God went to Abraham, who was in Haran, and knocked on his heart and promised him that God will make him a great nation, and He will bless him and make his name great and be a source of blessing if Abraham would go from his country and from his relatives and from his father's house to the land which God would show him. But over 10 years that Abraham lived in Canaan, the family of Abraham consisted only of him and Sarah, just two. And Sarah could not give birth. And Abraham obtained a son, Ishmael, through Hagar, Sarah's servant. Abraham was 86 years old then. And the Bible is silent for the next 13 years of Abraham's life. When Abraham was 99 years old, God knocked on Abraham's and Sarah's hearts again. And so, when Abraham became 100 years old, he obtained Isaac, the son of the promise, and Abraham became the source of blessing as God promised. When Jesus called the 12 disciples, not one of them asked Jesus to make him a follower. In particular, when Jesus knocked on the hearts of Nathanael, who is thought to be the same person as Bartholomew, he showed a cynical response by saying, "What good thing can come out of Nazareth?" But except for Judas Iscariot, who voluntarily quit being a disciple, every one of the disciples became the pathway of eternal life through the knocking of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, who became an apostle, did not know that the Lord was knocking on his heart. He had an unmatched zeal for God, and he was strict in his observance of the law, but he ignored the knocking on his door by Jesus. But on his way to Damascus, he at last opened the door of his life to the Lord, who had been knocking for a long time. As a result, he became a truly rich man by buying gold that has been refined by fire, a person who bought white clothes from the Lord and became clothed in Christ, a person who bought a salve from the Lord so for his eyes, so that his eyes opened to eternity. Our new life all began with the knocking of Jesus Christ. Even when we thought Christianity is a stupid religion and made up our minds not to mix with Christians, the Lord was knocking on our hearts. When we became lukewarm after having served the Lord with passion for whatever reason, the Lord came to knock on our lives. When we got lost in outward riches and our inner persons, in fact, became weary, pathetic, poor, blind, and naked. The Lord knocked at our heart. Let us listen carefully. Isn't the Lord knocking on our hearts? If we really accept the fact that the Lord is knocking in our hearts, our lives and our faith will mature much more, and we will serve the Lord all the more with our hearts. Let us pray. Father God, even when we were trapped in a diseased selfishness like Zacchaeus, you did not give up on us and knocked on our hearts. Even when we lived according to our desires like Adam and Eve, you came to us and you knocked on the doors of our spirits. Even when we went back and forth between obedience and disobedience and thought of our will as being more important, you did not turn away, but knocked on our heart. Thank you, God. And even when we did not know who the Lord was, like the disciples, you came into our daily life and knocked on our hearts. And even when, like Apostle Paul, we confronted you with anger, you knocked on our hearts even more loudly. Thank you for that. Because of the grace of your knocking, we were able to come this far. Help us not to forget that, and help us not to make the mistake of letting you stand outside of the door of our life. May we open our doors wide, eat with you and drink with you, so that we will become rich because of you. We will be clothed in you and open our eyes by putting on the salves for the eyes from you, and thereby live in eternity while we are here. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.